Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our health unit today, which means we're talking about keeping healthy so that you can live a long time, so that you can keep studying with us for an entire lifetime. We'd certainly like to have you with us. And, of course, I'd like to live to the ripe old age of 125 or so.
Not me. And I would rather enjoy my food and not live so long.
Oh, okay.
Than eat really boring, what I call rabbit food, you know, tasteless food that doesn't have lots of fat and sugar in it.
Well, you like sugar. I know you have a sweet tooth.
I can eat a cookie. Cookies are pretty fun.
The argument could be made that the sugar industry or the fat and salt industries have sort of thrown this food at you for many years, and now you're addicted to it.
Sure.
And they've got you right where they want you. But so we're going to talk about something similar to that.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about the sugar industry, especially in the United States, and how it kind of got people hooked on sugar.
How it fooled them.
It fooled them into thinking that eating sugar was okay while avoiding fat and carbohydrates and stuff like that, and protein was a bad thing for you. And we're also going to talk about how sometimes these companies try to sort of manipulate the studies in their favor.
So, they always do that, though.
Indeed. So it's kind of difficult to know who to believe.
Yeah, because, you know, I was just reading an article a couple of months ago, and they said, oh, you know what? Fat is really not so bad for you. So you never know who to believe. Remember when margarine was better than butter? Margarine's the fake stuff that we eat. It looks like butter. And then they said, oh, no, butter's better than margarine. They change every couple of years, so you don't know.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk specifically about sugar. Mm-hmm. So the title of our article is The Not-So-Sweet Truth Behind Sugar. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk about sugar today, and then we'll come back to talk about it. An alarming discovery has emerged that may cast a shadow over all we know or thought we knew about food studies. This new study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, and sheds light on the fact that the sugar industry has been manipulating not just our perspectives on sugar, but also government health policies. Back in the 1960s, the group now known as the Sugar Association didn't want people to link sugar consumption to heart disease. Therefore, it had three scientists at Harvard University carry out Project 226. This was a review of food research in which they pointed out issues with studies relating sugar to heart disease, while playing up the importance of those that put the blame on saturated fats and cholesterol. As well as funding the scientists for this work, the Sugar Association received and examined drafts of the review in order to ensure they were happy with its contents. In those days, researchers didn't have to say where their money came from, even if there was an obvious conflict of interest. Things worked out exactly as the Sugar Association had hoped. When the U.S. government started publishing nutrition guidelines in the 1980s, people were told to reduce their intake of fat and cholesterol to prevent heart disease. This remained the case for many years. Only in 2016 did the guidelines really come down hard on foods with added sugar, such as sodas, snacks, and desserts. Meanwhile, in response to the JAMA study, the Sugar Association has admitted that its predecessor in the 1960s should have been more transparent. However, the Sugar Association has also accused the JAMA study of having an anti-sugar narrative and therefore being not completely free from bias.
Ooh, the not-so-sweet truth behind sugar. So we're going to be telling you something that maybe isn't such good news. It's not so sweet. Now, here in the first sentence, it says there's been an alarming discovery that's been discovered, you could say. So an alarming discovery means something that makes you a little bit shocked, worries you a bit, yeah?
Yeah.
It's emerged. We often use this verb emerge to talk about the sun that's behind clouds, you know, when there's a cloudy day and suddenly the sun emerges from behind the cloud and it's nice and bright and sunny, which is wonderful when you've been putting up with cloudy days for a while. Well, this discovery has emerged. So when you emerge, you move out from behind something so that somebody can suddenly see you. So it becomes apparent. It becomes more well known than it was before. This discovery, though, may cast a shadow over all we know. If you cast a shadow over something, you make something suddenly become unpleasant, or maybe there's been some bad news, you know, and it makes things sad. So this is going to cast a shadow over all we knew before or thought we knew about food studies. I used to think we could trust food studies, but in the last 20 years I've learned that no, you really can't. So you just have to make educated guesses about what you should do. But don't believe everything you read.
Well, I always look for interviews with people who lived over 100 years old or something like that.
Yeah, but one lady ate bacon and eggs every day for her whole life, and she was 100.
Hey, I'm going down and get some bacon right now.
But, yep. Tom, it really does depend on your body. Some people are blessed with really great bodies.
True, true, indeed. And, of course, there are people who smoke cigarettes for 20 years, and they're okay. And then there are those who smoke for a year.
George Burns, remember that old
comedian?
Cancer.
Yeah, he smoked cigars and drank a martini
every day.
And I think did he just make 100?
Yeah, he made 100, I think.
A little short of it or something, I'm not quite sure. But in any case, this phrase, to cast a shadow, when I see that, it makes me think of cast a shadow of doubt over something, which means, well, maybe what we knew before is not the truth, especially about food studies. And people here in Taiwan know all about that. There are these food scares all the time, especially with cooking oil and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And this new study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA for
JAMA.
Short.
JAMA.
Okay.
Yeah, we say JAMA.
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I don't quite know. But
I worked
case...
for Pfizer, a pharmaceutical company, so
JAMA.
It is JAMA.
Well, JAMA sounds like a girl's name or
Rama
something,
JAMA.
So it sounds kind of weird. But in any case, it sheds light on the fact that the sugar industry has been manipulating not just our perspectives on sugar, but also government health policies.
Mm.
So it sheds light on something, which means it gives us a little more information about something. It makes something clearer and more easy to understand because, you know, shed some light on it.
Right.
It's got some light on it so we can see it better. We can understand it a little better. All about the sugar industry.
I like how our writer here is using these phrases that have to do with light, like cast a shadow over, kind of darkens things, makes you feel not so happy. Or shed light on, brings some new information to light so you understand it better. So it's kind of cool that they're using those phrases. We use phrases that have to do with light quite often, actually.
Yeah.
So we're finding out that the sugar industry, they've been manipulating us and our perspectives on sugar. Also, important government health policies. If you manipulate somebody, it's not a positive thing. You're using somebody or something to your advantage. You don't care how it's affecting them. You're doing what helps you. So be careful about that word manipulate. If someone accuses you of manipulating them, it means you're doing something to hurt them and you don't really care because it's helping you. Your perspective on something is your point of view. How you feel about something, your attitude towards something. So how we view sugar is actually being manipulated by the sugar industry. That's terrible.
It is terrible. And also in the sentence, we have the pattern, not just blah, 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 but also blah, blah, blah. You could say not just or not only. And, of course, you have this pattern in Chinese as well. So it's doing two things. It's not only manipulating our perspectives, but also government health policies. So they were doing two things at once. They were killing two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on now to the next paragraph. It says, back in the 1960s, the group now known as the Sugar Association didn't want people to link sugar consumption to heart disease. So back in the 1960s, we're going back, well over a half a century. We've got a group then called the Sugar Association, and they didn't want people to think of sugar together with heart disease. Here we've got link, and the phrase is to link something with something else, to connect them, to think that they are related to each other. So they didn't want us to link sugar consumption to heart disease. In other words, they didn't want us to think that if we ate a lot of sugar, we would have heart attacks or other problems with our heart and circulatory system. Consumption just refers to when you eat something, when you consume it, you put it into your mouth and it goes into your tummy.
Oh, yeah. You can also consume too much television if you watch too much TV or your car consumes gas. Here, they didn't want to connect bad sugar to heart disease. So they kind of went about trying to fool us, or they were a little bit dishonest with this Project 226. So it asked three scientists at the very prestigious Harvard University to carry out or conduct Project 226. What this was a review of food research that had been done in the past. And these scientists tried to point out issues or problems or concerns with those studies relating sugar to heart disease. So if there was a study that said, hey, sugar's really not very good for your heart, they would try to make that study seem like it had problems, that it couldn't be trusted. It was really a very dishonest thing to do, I would say. And at the same time, they would play up the importance of those that put the blame on saturated fats, those fats that are bad for us, and cholesterol on people who had heart disease. So they tried to minimize the studies that focused on sugar contributing to heart disease, and they tried to maximize the studies that put the blame on fat and cholesterol rather than sugar. A little dishonest. If you relate something to something else, you connect the two of them or you link them together. So you can see in this paragraph we've got link sugar to heart disease. We've got relating sugar to heart disease or connecting sugar to heart disease. You can use all of these phrases.
I could say, for example, lots of studies relate Bin Long consumption to mouth cancer, or lots of people or lots of doctors relate cigarette smoking to lung cancer, etc., etc. So again, they kind of played down studies that said sugar was bad for you, and they played up studies that said, no, the culprit is saturated fats and cholesterol, not sugar. We're innocent as a newborn babe. Well, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson for today. Let's take a break right now and go have some candy bars.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 我们现在要看的是第七单元，跟大家的健康有关系的，谈的是Sugar, 糖当然是甜的，可是呢，内容要谈的却是 the not so sweet truth。换句话说，这个真相本身可能并不甜。我们来看之前早先一段时间咯，在1960年代，当时呢，其实有一些研究报告，而其研究报告的内容是不是告诉我们，我们真的健康上的问题的真相是对的吗？可能不尽然。首先他就说了，这是我们现在发现的。这个说到这个发现，他提到 cast a shadow over all we know or thought we knew。 当然这个发现啊， cast a shadow 就表示让什么事情我们以为自己知道的这些变成蒙上了一层阴影。换句话说，我们现在才知道我们被骗了。这个杂志里头他现在所刊登的这一项消息是发现，原来啊，我们呢在过去一直被糖业，就是制糖业者蒙蔽了。因为呢，不但呢它操控了我们对糖的看法，还操控了政府它的健康政策。这边用到了 not just, but also. 当然我们很习惯说不光是 A, 还有 B。有时候你会换几个字，比如说你用 not only, 后面相对的 but also, 或者是 not merely, but 后面用 as well, 放在最后面。这都是表示不光是 A, 还有 B。好，那我们就来看到底怎么回事。就像我们先前说的，要回到1960年代。好，那时候呢，这个 The Sugar Association, 也就是糖业的协会，这制糖业者，他们当然不希望我们一般人不敢吃糖。所以呢，哎，他们做了什么事？这件事就是他们要三个哈佛大学的科学家去进行一项226计划。好，我们来看这个动词 ,had,H-A-D, 我们知道它有一个实义动词的用法，当你要别人做什么事，这种命令语气里头后面的动作你用的是原形动词，所以这个 carry out, 进行计划的这个进行 carry 是一个原形动词。那这三位哈佛大学的科学家，他们做研究的时候呢，在里头好看到这个 in which, 也就是说在他们这个计划里面，这个回顾里面用到 in 再加 which, 注意到接续词再加冠带，当着冠带还是指前面的这个 review, 而在这里面他们就指出了说，其实啊，和糖类跟心脏疾病有关的这些研究是有争议的，而他们 play up, 也就是他夸大了那些指责饱和脂肪酸跟胆固醇这种研究的重要性，换句话说，把跟健康心脏疾病有关的都归到这个是因为 fat, 是因为饱和脂肪酸 saturated fat, 还有 cholesterol胆固醇的关系。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue talking about the evils of sugar.
Ooh.
Or at least how some companies, I guess, the Sugar Association wanted to manipulate how we felt about sugar, again, by basically, using three Harvard scientists, and they got them to do some studies about sugar. Oh, it's okay, you know, yeah, sugar might be bad if you have too much of it, but for the most part, it's okay. You gotta watch out for those saturated fats, and you also gotta watch out for, what's the other thing?
Cholesterol,
yeah.
Couldn't
find it here in the lesson, but let's continue here. As well as funding the scientists for this work, the Sugar Association received and examined drafts of the review in order to ensure they were happy with its contents. So, yes, indeed, as well as, this is a similar pattern here, as well as something, but also something else. So, they funded the scientists, which means they gave them the money for their research, but they also wanted to see their actual results first. They wanted to see and they wanted to receive and to examine the drafts of the review. The draft, of course, is the first edition of a report or something.
Mm-hmm.
Your first draft, it's when you write it out. It's not the one you're going to use. You need to fix it up and change some things later on. But they wanted to see the drafts first and say, okay, well, we like this one. Well, we don't like that. Can you change that? Or can you do some more research there so it changes the result or something? So basically, they wanted to ensure they were happy. They wanted to guarantee that they liked what these reports were saying.
Yeah, they weren't very objective, you could say that. Back in those days, it wasn't illegal to hide where your money was coming from. So researchers, these scientists who are supposed to be objective, didn't have to tell anybody who was paying for the report or the study, who was paying for it. So it really wasn't very honest, I would say. The laws have changed nowadays. You have to say who's paying you to do the studies.
You have to be transparent.
Yeah, well, yeah. Supposedly. There's an obvious conflict of interest here. A conflict of interest is a word we use when you're in a situation where your concerns and the person that you're working for are incompatible. So you want to stay away from places where there's a clash between your self-interest and whatever you're working on. And of course, the scientists had a self-interest in preparing a good study for those who were paying them because they wanted the money.
Sure.
So it really was not objective at all. Nowadays, they would be considered hacks or people who weren't really scientifically honest in their work. We have to look out for that a lot in many studies. For example, I mentioned I worked for the pharmaceutical industry when I was in New York. And you often have doctors who will contact the company and say, oh, I'll do a study for you. If you'll pay me, I'll say good things about your drug. That's not a good doctor.
Indeed, doctors and scientists and professors make a lot of money, but you know how it goes. Nobody makes as much as they'd like to. We could all make more money. There's no such thing as enough money. So in any case, yes, there's a conflict of interest. Maybe like if you're somebody who supports the death penalty, well, you have a conflict of interest because you work for a company that makes bullets that kill people in execution. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you would support the death penalty. So you have a conflict of interest. But in any case, we're going to move on now to the next paragraph and talk about what it says. Things worked out exactly as the Sugar Association had hoped. They were happy. They got the results they wanted. When the U.S. government started publishing nutrition guidelines in the 1980s, people were told to reduce their intake of fat and cholesterol to prevent heart disease. So, indeed, the government had these guidelines about nutrition. Nutrition is all about the things you need in your diet so that you're healthy and don't get sick, like having vitamins and minerals and stuff like that, and to reduce the things that are bad for you. So, yes, you want to have good nutrition, and these are guidelines. The government basically saying, yes, these are the kinds of vitamins and minerals you should have and how much in your daily diet. And these are the things you should avoid. And this started happening. These results or these guidelines were published in the 1980s. You should reduce your intake of fat and cholesterol so that you don't get heart disease. Intake means your consumption, what's going into your body.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I'm kind of upset about that because every time I look at a package, it says low fat. And I think, well, yeah, low fat, but it's still got like 500 tons of sugar in
there. Usually if you buy those low fat items, you got to check the sugar because they've had to increase the sugar to make it taste good enough. We found out in the last 10 years that you actually need more fat than you need sugar. So be careful with that. So this remained the case for many years, these guidelines we're talking about. I didn't realize that we just got guidelines in the 1980s. I thought we had them long before that.
Mm.
Well, in 2016, the guidelines really come down hard on foods with added sugar. If you come down hard on something or someone, it means you criticize them a lot. So the guidelines really criticized foods with added sugar, saying, hey, we don't need food with more sugar in it than it naturally has. For example, sodas. So that's soda pop. We call it pop in the West. Soda in the East and in the middle of the United States, I think they call it soda pop. So sodas have tons of sugar, except for the diet colas, but that's not good for you either. Snacks, lots of sugar, and desserts, of course. We like lots of sugar in our desserts in America.
Cake and pie and ice cream and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, in response to the JAMA study, the Sugar Association has admitted that its predecessor in the 1960s should have been more transparent. Predecessor means the person or committee or whatever that came before you. So Tsai Ing-wen's predecessor, of course, was Ma Ying-jeou, etc., the predecessor, the person that was in your position before.
So your predecessor is the person who filled that position before you. So the Sugar Association admitted that the people that were working for the Sugar Association in the 60s, they should have been more transparent. We see this word transparent a lot in politics especially or the news. where we're not getting the truth. People are hiding facts. We hate that. If something's transparent, especially a fabric or a material, it means you can see right through it because it's very, very thin. So if something's transparent in terms of a study or news or politics, it means you're hearing the truth. They're not hiding things from you.
Yeah, you can see where their money's coming from and who's supporting them and stuff like that. We all want our leaders to have transparency or to be transparent. But the Sugar Association is saying, well, hey, this JAMA study is having this anti-sugar narrative. Maybe they're conducting some kind of witch hunt or something against us just because we like sugar. So they're not free from bias either. Bias just means you favor a certain opinion or a certain group or something just because it affects you positively.
Yeah, you might be biased against your friend's, you know, boyfriend because, I don't know, you had a bad experience with him earlier. You don't like him. So we need to be free from bias when we're doing these studies. It's almost impossible to be free from all bias. Mm. Right now, someone who tries to be free from bias is our Chinese teacher. We'll listen now.
好，我们来继续看。 那这个研究，真的，说实话，研究者他如果故意要夸大一些事实，我们消费者当然不知道了。不过他后面呢用到了as well as funding the scientists for this work. 我们先看这句话，谈到呢这些制糖业者啊，他们呢除了说像我们刚刚讲的，他 funding， 他也就是提供基金资助他们去做研究之外，他还怎么样？还接收检视这个回顾的草稿，确保说这个内容是他们满意的。好，我们看到 as well as， 它其实也算是一个连接词哦。那连接词偏语后面，当然。 他所接的，我们看到这里用 funding， 那为什么用 ving？ 因为 as well as 本质上它还是一个介系词片语，所以它在用法上是很像 in addition to，所以后面的动作你用 ving， funding 是这样来的。好，那除此之外还怎么样？它后面就告诉你，他们其实是很明显有利益冲突的。不过呢。 而且在这时候最有趣的是，那些研究者其实不需要告诉大家说他们资金是怎么来的，所以这也就是我们刚刚讲的有一种 conflict 利益冲突了。那现在呢，下面就说到事情呢，当然就像这些制糖业者他们所希望的很成功，而且美国政府呢，在1980年代在颁布这些营养指南的时候，他也真的就按照这些结果，然后告诉大家要少吃什么呢？食物里面要减少脂肪，要减少胆固醇，这样子可以预防心脏的疾病。好，不过后面就说到了。
Only in 2016 did the guidelines really come down hard on foods with added sugar.
好，这个句型上比较特别，因为我们看到了 only 在前面 only in 2016 这个在前面的时候，后面呢用了倒装句，没错，这个倒装句型呢，你会看到 did 这个助动词摆到前面来。如果用倒装句的话，有一种情况就是这样写，它写出来其实很像疑问句。好，注意到 only 如果它摆一个地方也好，事件也好，介系词片语也好，摆句首后面的句子，记得。 倒装句，还有一个地方就是到最下面这边提到说，这个指南啊，他们就承认了，的确他们之前有错，而且他说，他们之前呢应该 should have been more transparent。 注意到 should 后面加完成式，这就表示说本来过去这件事情应该如何，但是却没有办到。OK， 我们今天的解释就到这边结束，我们下次见。
So that was day one of our health unit. We're focusing on some of the truth behind sugar and how it affects our health. You know, I kind of like sugar, so this makes me sad that we can't have all the sugar that we want. But we have to control ourselves, people. Not so much sugar. In day two, we're going to continue talking about some of the food studies and the bias that you'll find in food studies. But you'll have to wait for that. You'll have to tune in for our next program. This is English Digest. We hope you'll join us then. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.